first of all, thank you very, very much for inviting me and allowing me to share some words of Torah with you. I have a lot of Akaras HaTov, Mechallah, my wife, spent a number of years learning here and teaching here, and feel very, very much part of the Mechallah family. So it's nice to be able to be here and to learn together with you. As was mentioned, this topic, this Yom Iyun, was planned. Feels like 100 years ago, but way before Sukkot and way before our current events have begun. And it's a little bit scary how I think the exact same speech or shiur that I would have given right now, I would have given back then. And it just shows how timeless our Torah is, and how it's applicable at any point, before a war, during a war, after a war. You just have to know what the Torah is telling us, and know how to act, and how it applies. Okay, now there are some sheets that are going around. I think there are many more that are being made. So we'll start with the Shem, everyone will get a copy of the packet. The topic that I want to speak about is Binah Machavero. And Binah Machavero is a super wide, broad, vague topic. And instead of specifically talking about one area of Binah Machavero, I wanted to speak about the mahus, the essence of Binah Machavero. What does it really mean? What does it mean, all our mitzvos Binah Machavero? What does the term mean when we say Binah Machavero? I would like to try to take it to a few different levels of depth, and also on some level walk away with some practical applications of what it means. I'd like to start with the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. The pasuk says, "Losisnas achicha v'levavecha." You're not allowed to hate someone. V'cheyach tochiach es amisecha. You should rebuke your friend. You see someone doing something wrong, you should rebuke them. V'lo sisa alav chet, and you should not bear a sin because of him. Now, this last part of the pasuk is very difficult. What does that mean? I'm supposed, someone's doing something wrong, the Mechal Shabbos, there's a mitzvah, I'm supposed to go ahead and rebuke them. And don't bear a sin, a transgression because of him. What does that mean? What is the Torah coming to add? Explains Rashi, the Torah is coming to tell us how to rebuke. Rashi says, the second source you have in front of you, don't embarrass him in public. Meaning, there's a mitzvah to rebuke your friend. There are many ways that you could do this. One of them is calling them out in front of everyone else and say, hey, why have you mechal Shabbos? Why did you eat that? How in the world did you walk into that restaurant? You could be mavel b'nei chaver, you could embarrass them publicly. So the Torah is telling us, be very careful. When you're going ahead and you're rebuking your friend, make sure not to mess up, that at the end of the day, you end up embarrassing someone. Okay, it's telling you how to go about doing it. But the Targum Unklis and the Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah and Shar Gimel Os Ayin Beis, they explain totally differently. The Torah isn't coming to tell us how to rebuke. The Torah is coming to tell us why I have to rebuke. What is the reason behind this mitzvah of Hocheach Tochiach HaSamisacha that we should go ahead and not mind my own business, basically. Why should I go ahead and rebuke someone else if there's something wrong? Well, what's to do with you? It's not your problem. It's not your issue. Let him be as he wants. You do what you want. Focus on yourself. Be a good person. Shalom Yisrael. Why does the Torah command us, Ocheach Tochiach Samisacha? And the Rebbeinu Yonah explains as follows. It's harder. Bazet, the Torah is warning us. Shalom Nisa Nasa Chet B'Chet Chavarinu. We should not get an avera by witnessing our fellow Jew who's doing an avera. If I see someone being mechal Shabbos, if I see someone speaking Lashon Hara, and I witness it and don't say anything, I get an avera. That's what Torah is telling us. Lotisa l'avchet, make sure you do it, make sure you rebuke the person, because if you don't, you're going to get an avera. Now, we could have learned this on a very superficial level, and that is that, yeah, I have a lot of mitzvot, 613. I'm not allowed to eat this, I'm not allowed to speak this way, I have to keep Shabbos, etc., etc., etc. One of them is, I cannot watch other people do averos, and if I do, and I don't say anything, I get an avera. Just, again, another one of the 613. But the truth is, it's something much, much, much deeper than that. The core of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is really represented in this line. Okay, we'll come back to this in a moment. The next pasuk says, Losito, Lositor, person shouldn't take nakama, as Bnei Amecha, Ve'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha Ani Hashem. You should love your neighbor as you love yourself. I am Hashem. What in the world does this mean? I should love my neighbor like I love myself. The most famous pasuk. What does that mean? I should love someone like I love myself. So, I definitely felt this when I learned the pasuk. And Baruch Hashem, I feel excited when the Rishonim actually go ahead and say that it's okay for me to feel what I feel. So the Ramban says, in source number 6 over here, this is an exaggeration. Says the Ramban, the Torah is exaggerating. Because it's impossible to love someone else like you love yourself. We all love ourselves more than anyone else. More than a parent, more than a brother, more than a sister, more than a friend, more than a spouse. We all love ourselves more than anyone else. And it's impossible to love someone else like myself. So says Ramban, haflaga. This is an exaggeration. So says the Ramban, must be what the Torah means to say in the second explanation here, is that it's not that the Torah is telling me to actually love someone like myself. That's impossible. Rather, what does it mean? It means an action. Says the Ramban, 2 lines from the end of here, V'yitzava ha'kasov shelo tiyeh p'chisus ha'kin ha'azos b'libo aval yehav b'rabos ha'tov v'lechaveru kasher adam osa l'nasho v'lo yitin shi'urin b'ava. We're talking about an action. If I go ahead and my friend gets something, I should be happy for it. I should want them to have just like I would want to have. So I'm going out in the morning, on my way, pick up a nice coffee. I should want my fellow friend, my roommate, my classmate, to have a nice coffee just like I want a nice coffee. And I shouldn't be jealous of them if they have something and I don't. I should want them to have good. That's what the mitzvah, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, means in action, that I should want my friend to have just like I would want to have. Now, if you take this at face value, what that means basically is that if I'm in the ice cream store and I really want ice cream, what flavor do I like? I like chocolate. And I say, well, I should want my friend to have something just like I would want to have it. So I'm going to go ahead and buy ice cream for my friend, chocolate, of course, because that's what I want. So I go ahead and I bring my friend the chocolate ice cream. I'm so excited. Here it is. It's all for you. And she says, chocolate? I'm allergic to chocolate. What were you thinking? I hate chocolate ice cream. It's terrible. Keep it away from me. So what does this mean? I should want for my friend exactly what I would want for myself? How could that be? So the Sfarno takes it one step deeper. The Sfarno source 7, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha ahov ba'ad reyacha meshahayita ohev be'adcha v'mhayita magia l'makomo. Says the Sfarno, the idea is that just like I have needs, everyone here has needs, and I want my needs to be met, whatever those needs are, I should also want my fellow friend's needs to be met. Just like I have needs and I want my needs to be met, so too my friend has needs and I should fully want their needs to be met just like I would want for myself. And therefore, what is the one thing that I need? Need, okay, it's not a good word. What is the one required thing in order to fulfill this mitzvah? I have to know another person's needs. I actually have to study my friend or whoever it is that I want to have that relationship with and think for a minute, take a minute out of your day and say, what would they need to hear right now? What would they need to receive? What is something that they would need in order to be happier? I have to study our fellow friends and then go ahead and try to fulfill those needs. But if we just go on autopilot and give, but we never take a moment to stop and think, what are the needs of the people that I want to give to? We are falling short, if even getting anywhere, in the mitzvah, ha'afta l'recha kamocha. Someone told me, I have one of my Talmidim arranged for all of these hundreds and hundreds of duffel bags coming to Eretz Yisrael with toys for the children, etc. And so we went to the Shalom Hotel here, right here. Okay, we went to the Shalom Hotel to deliver some of these toys, and there were 700 kids there. And the person that's in charge is from a yeshuv called Naveh. They were literally the next yeshuv that the terrorists would have gotten to. Baruch Hashem, they're the next one. They weren't the one. And they're all staying there, 700 kids. So, you know, we brought all these things. So the head of the yeshuv was there, and he said, "Tell everyone we don't need toys anymore." He said, "I just need money to buy guns, and I need to buy a drone. That's all I want." He said, "I need an expensive drone to patrol the area. That's it." You know, sometimes we're so excited, you know, the achdus and the binam machadero, we're going to buy and buy and buy and buy. The real mitzvah is to take a step back for a second, when there's no hysteria, and say, "I want to help someone. I have money to help someone. What are their needs? Is it easier if I just give them money? Or is it easier if I go shopping for them? What are their shopping list of things?" But it requires us to take a step back, think about other people, and think about their needs. That is the explanation of the Sfarno. But I want to go ahead and take it to a whole new level and try to understand, what is it? Lotisa l'abchet, why am I held responsible if my fellow person transgresses? And what does it really mean, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? Is there a way to learn it in its literal translation that I'm supposed to love someone like I love myself, even though, like the Ramban says, I can't love someone else like myself, I love myself the most? So here we go into a whole new world of the Pachad Yitzchak, the Rav Huttner, and the Talmud Devorah of Moshe Cordovero, source 8 and source 9. Rav Huttner writes in Pachad Yitzchak that any time we have a word in Lashon HaKodesh, right, English is a made-up language. Right? Why is this called a podium? Because someone decided it should be called a podium. Why does it start with a P and then an O? There's absolutely no reason. Someone decided that it should be called a podium. Why is this called a floor? For absolutely no reason. The fact that it has an F and an L, and Florida also has an F and an L, have absolutely no relation to one another. There's no meaning behind the letters that make up the word and the words themselves. Lashon HaKodesh is not that way. Lashon HaKodesh, every single word is what creates the existence of that item. And the letters that make up that word are the molecules, are the building blocks of that item as well. And therefore, it is impossible to have two different words in Lashon HaKodesh that mean, the same word in Lashon HaKodesh with the same letters that mean different things. If they have the same letters, there must be a commonality, there must be something that bridges them together in its core. Says the Pachad Yitzchak, what does the word re'echa mean? The root of the word is ra, resh ayin, which we always translate as evil. He points out that it's also the root of the word shrua. Like on Rosh Hashanah, we have a tekiah is one long sound, too, and shrua is do 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 do. It's a broken sound of the tekiah. Explain to Huttner, the word shrua, the word ra, means a broken piece of something bigger. A broken piece of a whole. So you have a whole sound, the tekiah. The shrua are broken pieces of that. Ra, evil, is when things are broken. When I go ahead and do ra to my friend, I have broken them. And he says that is the same word as re'echa. Re'echa means the other broken piece of myself. And here goes the yisod. We are all one unit. We don't strive for achdus. We are echad. Whether you like it or not, we are one. On a spiritual, ruchani level, we are all one unit. And therefore, you are a piece of me, and I'm a piece of you. We make up two pieces of many pieces that make up a whole. Therefore, every individual is a reya of their other friend, because we're all just pieces. Explains Rav Huttner, that's what v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha means. I shall love you like I love myself. You know why? Because you're me. You're me and I'm you. Just in case you didn't know. Nice to meet you. We are all one. And therefore, you're a reya of me. So of course I should love you like I love me. I am selfish, says the Ramban. I only love myself. Yeah, but you are me. So I love you too. The mitzvah is to love your other piece like you love yourself. The Yerushalmi says in Maseches Nedarim, what's the reason behind the aveira of nekama, of revenge? He says, what if your right arm hurt your left arm? Would your left arm like punch your right arm back? It's ridiculous. If you're walking on the street and you slip, would you start beating your leg? How dare you step on that banana peel? It's ludicrous, right? Because I'm one thing. I'm one unit. So how can I take revenge on my other piece that went ahead and harmed me? Doesn't make any sense. We are all one unit. Says Moshe Cordovero, from Tomer Devorah, Source 9, and we'll fast forward to the other side of the page, on page 2. Moshe Cordovero explains as follows. He says, he's talking about the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the whole idea of the Sefer Tomer Devorah, at the beginning. And one of the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is it's not just that you and I are one, but Hashem and I are one also. We make a much bigger spiritual thing called Oraisa, the Kutcha Brichu, Yisrael Chadu, the Torah, B'nai Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are all one. So he's explaining about HaKadosh Baruch Hu having this relationship with us, that we are one with Hashem. Okay, then he goes on to paragraph, the second paragraph from the top over here. Kacha Adonim Chadero, so too man with his friend. Kol Yisrael him She'er Basar, Elu Im Elu. Each one of our piece of the skin, of the body of each other. B'nai Shah Neshamos Kavulos Yachav, because all our Neshamos are intertwined with one another. Yesh Bazeh Chelek Zeh, Bazeh Chelek Zeh. I have a piece of you, you have a piece of me, all inside making up one Neshama. That's why when a lot of people go ahead and do mitzvahs together, it's much more powerful. Why? Because it's a bigger neshama, a bigger piece of that neshama is going ahead and doing the mitzvah. And then he says as follows. 5 lines in. Second word in the line. This is why we have a responsibility for other people. Because, you know why I have to rebuke my friend if he does an avera? It's not because Stam does this mitzvah, we want people to be policemen. It's because if you're doing an avera, that means I'm doing an avera. And just like I'm responsible for myself, I have to make sure you don't make that do that avera. Because when someone sins, po game is atzmo. He obviously ruins himself. Upo game chelek ashir chaverbo, he also ruins me, because it's a piece of me and you. So I'm responsible for you. Explains in Moshe Cordovero, that's why I should also be so happy and excited about your success. The Eino Tova, Al Tovas Chaver, I should have a good eye towards the good that comes to you. Kvodo, and your honor. Yechabiv Allah. It should be good for me. Kishalo, like mine. Sharei, who matters? You're me. He comes in and stavin about Tarecha Kamocha, that's the shot behind the Pasuk about Tarecha Kamocha. The right she yurts of the Kashas Chaber Velo Yidav, the new session of speak badly about another person, Klav, Lo Yurts of O, Yidera Shein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rosh Kipim, the same, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to look bad, Lo Bitzarim doesn't want us to have pain, you come at Kurva because we're so close. After Lo Yurts of the Gnus Chaber, I shouldn't want anything bad to my friend Lo Bitzarim, he should not pain, Lo Bitzarim, Lo Bitzarim, where his downfall, the era, Lo Mimeno Kiyu, who Mamash HaYishar, Ba'os Tzar, Ovo Sotol, I have to feel exactly like I am in that pain. Meaning, you are me and I am you, and therefore, he says, that is the pshat in Ochech, Ochech, Samisecha. I have to go ahead and rebuke my friend. Why? Because it's me doing the Avera. Me! I'm a tzaddik. I would never violate Shabbos. He's me. He's violating Shabbos. That's my problem. Okay. Now let's take a step deeper and a little bit more practical. Source 10 is Mishnah Rabbi Aaron of Aaron Kalder, the Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood. And he asks the following question. He says, I don't get it. The halacha is that, let's say, there's no way I could stop you from doing your aveira. I can't. First of all, you're far away from me. I can't speak to you. You're not going to listen to me. I can't do it. So, I still get punished for that? You're going to hold me accountable? I can't do it. The halacha is no, absolutely not. It's only if you have the ability to rebuke your friend and change his ways. Are you obligated to go ahead and give that mussar, to give tokacha? But if I can't do it, it's beyond me, I'm not chayav. So he says, well, I don't get it. According to Moshe Cordovero, I'm doing the avera. If he drives on Shabbos, I am doing the avera. So why aren't I being punished for that? So he explains as follows. It's very interesting. He says, because then it's called that I am an anus. The avera is being done against my will. Let's say, God forbid, someone Gemara talks about, captures me and stuffs non-kosher down my mouth. I don't want to eat. I'm holding back. I hate this. And stuffs it down. So I ate it. Am I going to be punished for that? Absolutely not. If someone does an avera ba'ones, it's forced upon him. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want this to happen. We're not held accountable. Explains Rav Aaron. If someone does an avera, and I don't want that avera to happen, I can't change it, I can't stop it, but I don't want it to happen. But it happened. So that piece of me that did the avera is an anus. It was forced upon me. I didn't want it. I would have done everything I could have to prevent it if I could have prevented it. And therefore, I'm not held accountable. Flips Rav Aaron this on the other side and says the same thing applies to doing mitzvos. Just like Rav Moshe Cordovero says, that there's a piece of me in every one of you. And therefore, if God forbid anyone does an avera, that's my problem, and I'm going to be held accountable for it if I could have stopped it. The same thing is when it comes to mitzvos. If anyone here does a mitzvah, I am going to get schar for it. Thank you very much. Every time any of us do a mitzvah, we're getting schar for ourselves and for the rest of Klal Yisrael that are connected to us as one unit. Because the whole unit, that neshama, just went ahead and did a mitzvah. Says Rav Aaron, according to this logic that we just explained, that if it's forced upon you, you won't get the avera, same thing when it comes to the mitzvah. If I don't want the other person to get a mitzvah, I don't like people who do mitzvahs, or I'm jealous of you and I wish you wouldn't be able to do this thing, then I won't get that mitzvah. Therefore, he explains, and if you look at page 3, on the fourth line, it says that, second line. If you don't care about the spiritual status, the Klal Yisrael, of the other Jewish people, the Eino Doi Klal of Kvot Shemayim, you don't care about Kvot Shemayim, then the good that happened by other people is almost against your will. You don't care about Klal Yisrael being on a high spiritual level. Your peace in your friend, who's up to you, wouldn't happen. It's against your will. You will not get the schar of the mitzvah that your friend went ahead and did. Rashi brings this, Sefer Devarim, did not fall in the menu cell. I'm walking down the street, and by accident, money falls out of my pocket. Matzah ani, a poor man finds the dollar on the floor. The Rashi brings, Chazal tells us, the national slow tztaka. I get a mitzvah tztaka. I didn't even know when ani picked it up. I was just walking, I lost my dollar. I get home, I'm like, oh man, where'd my dollar go? I have no idea. Some ani picked it up. I get a mitzvah tztaka. Explains Rav Aaron. Hainu ba'ofen de merutza bazeshi parnisan ani. That's only if you would have been happy for the ani to have received that. But if you would have been upset that the ani got it, if you would have been upset that the mitzvah happened, then you will get no schar. The only way that a person could go ahead and get all the reward of everyone else's mitzvahs is that he wants other people to do mitzvahs. He wants the good of the other person. He wants the other person to be successful. And that is something that we have to think about very, very much in order for us to be able to benefit from being part of Klal Yisrael. We have to recognize that every one of us are part of each other. The whole idea of this thing sometimes that people use called cliques is a terrible anti-Jewish word, just to say it straight. There's no room for it in Yiddishkeit because we are just one clique, one big unit. That's it. You can't have subunits in there. And if you don't want to be part of that unit, so you lose out in a very, very, very big way. The mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha is I have to love my other piece like I love myself. And source 11, the Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem, in Chelet Beis, he says, why did Hakadosh Baruch Hu make us all one unit? Why? Why did Hashem do that? Didn't have to. Right? Why did Hashem set up the world that the entire Jewish people are one unit, and your Aveira is my Aveira, and my mitzvah is your mitzvah? Why is it like that? So he says it was a chesed, a tremendous chesed for us. Because by setting it up this way, we are all going to get more Olam Haba. Because if it was just me as an individual, so it's based on my mitzvahs. How many mitzvahs can I really do in my life? Every minute Hashem is giving me and giving me and giving me, and I can't even hold a candle to all the chesed that Hashem gives me. So what can I really offer? But when my mitzvahs come up with things that I personally did, and everyone else's mitzvahs that I am so happy that people are doing, I'm so excited that Klal Yisrael is doing mitzvahs, Klal Yisrael in a good space, so then I get reward for everyone's mitzvahs. If you look at three lines from the bottom, U'kidei she'ein makom v'tikon ha'gadol hazeh, in order to do this amazing tikkun, that all of the Jewish people could go ahead and be nana mezivah shechina, which is our goal in life. Kasher mechila es ha'ishim zeim zeh. Hashem intertwined and connected the individuals to one another. And that's why we're responsible for one another. Through this, each one are connected automatically with each other. No one is independent. No claims. And just like we could get in trouble if some God forbid sins, we'll get even more on another person's chus. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives this as a chesed to us that we should all get a lot of schar. And therefore, what do we need to do? We need to want other people to be successful. We need to want every other Jew to be matzliach, to have good, to have bracha, to be able to do mitzvos, to have kvot shemayim, to have yir shemayim, everything. We should want it. And if you want it, even if you never meet that person, and you have no idea what they do in their life, one day when you get up there in shemayim, Hashem is going to do this whole thing of good that comes with you. You're like, hey, I never did that. Oh, yes, you did. Because you wanted Klal Yisrael to be good, and therefore all of their mitzvos are going to be ours. But now let's take it one step even deeper. Pasuk says, in this week's parsha, that's a coincidence. Okay. The pasuk says that Hagar was with Ishmael, and Hagar davened, her son, Ishmael, was dying here on the floor in the desert. So Hagar davened to Hashem, cried out to Hashem. And the pasuk says, Perek Aval, Pasuk Yizayim, V'Yishmael Hashem is kol anar. Ishmael also cried out to Hashem. And Hashem listened to him. They cry out to Elokim, El Hagar, Me'ashamayim, says, don't worry about it, he'll be okay. Rashi, source 13, says, it's called Na'ar Mikan, she'yafa tefilas ha'chole, v'tefilas ha'cherim. I love it. Yiko demis l'iskada. We see from here, Hagar daven for Yishmael. The mother daven for her child. But the pasuk says that Hashem listened to Yishmael's tefilah. What do we learn from here, says Rashi? That the power of the sick person's tefillah is greater than the tefillah of other people on them. Okay. Nice idea. Problem is that it's against the Gemara. The Chizkuni in source 14 asks the following question. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos and Daf Hamid Beis that Rabbi Yochanan was sick. Now Rabbi Yochanan was a big tzaddik, he was a big gadol, he was healing people all over the place, and he called Rabbi Chanina to come in. And Rabbi Chanina said, what can I do for you? And Rabbi Yochanan said, please heal me. And Rabbi Chanina went ahead and healed Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara asks, why did Rabbi Yochanan have to ask Rabbi Chanina to come heal him? Why did Rabbi Yochanan just heal himself? He also was a gadol ador. He also was a tzaddik. Why didn't he just heal himself? So the Gemara answers, because ein chavash matir asmo beis asur. Someone who's locked up in jail can't get himself out. You need someone else from the outside to take you out of captivity. Rabbi Yochanan was sick. It was as if he's in jail. He's stuck. His tefillah couldn't work. He needed someone else to go ahead and daven for him to get him out. What do you see from there, says the Chizkuni? That someone else's tefillah for the sick person is much more powerful than the sick person himself. It's against the Chazal, that Medrash Rabbah, that Rashi brings. Rashi says that it was Hagar wasn't listened to, it was only Yishmael, because Yishmael was the sick one. The power of the sick person's tefillah is greater than the tefillah of the other person. But the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan couldn't daven himself to be healed. He needed someone from the outside to daven for him, to take care of his pain, to take care of his problem, and therefore recruited Rabbi Chanina to come in to heal him. So which one is it? What's better? Is it better for the sick person to daven for himself, or is it better for someone else to daven for the sick person? Chizkuni gives his answer, but I want to show you a different answer. Source 15, the Chasam Sofer, says it in the Torah's Moshe and this week's Parsha, but also has a very, very long drasha in the drashas of the Chasam Sofer in Chel Beis, page 303. I'll tell you the page because if you can find it, it's kedai to look this up. Now, again, I was not, when I planned on speaking, there was no war, just for the just put this on the record. So the whole drasha of the Chasam Sofer is about, there were certain towns in Europe at different times in Jewish history that were under siege. And they were having problems, dangerous to be in their town. And there were different hanhagos of the gedolim in those towns, whether they should leave where they were and go outside of the danger zone. Should they leave the country? Okay? Bring them home or leave them here? So there were two different things that were going on. And the Chasam Sofer is explaining what the reasons were behind the people that would leave and the people that would stay. Okay? That's what the whole drasha is about. And the drasha in there explains and gives the following answer, which is the same, similar to the Chasam Sofer in this week's parsha. Before I give this answer, I'd like to tell a story. Okay? In 1911, that's a long time ago, okay? If I told you it was 2023, you would believe me. But in 1911, there was a Jewish factory worker in Kiev. His name was Mendel Bayless. You might have heard of him when you studied Jewish history a little bit. And Mendel Bayless was falsely accused of murdering a 13-year-old Ukrainian boy in the factory. Bayless spent 2 years, more than 2 years, in prison while they were waiting to go ahead and decide what to do with him. Meanwhile, the Russian press started a huge blood libel against the Jewish community. I mean, this wasn't just about Mendel Bayless, one Jew who went ahead and killed a 13-year-old Ukrainian non-Jewish boy, but rather it was about the entire Jewish community, and they're all terrible. And it created a tremendous amount of anti-Semitism and danger to all of the Jews, all over the place. Now, I'm going to fast forward for a second. Mendel Bayless wasn't even in town when this murder happened, and at the end of the day, it was the whole thing was a hoax. Let's go back to the story. So during these 2 years, people all over the world were davening, every community were davening, getting stuck with doing mitzvahs and Mendel Bayless. They all heard about this Mendel Bayless, because it wasn't just about one individual, well it was, but it impacted all Klal Yisrael. And everyone was davening, doing chesed, etc., while he was sitting in prison. The court case, again, was not just about Mendel Bayless, it was about the Jews in general. And the prosecutor had a whole list of chazals that were going to support him in his case against the Jews. One of the gemaras that the prosecutor had in the back pocket was that the gemara says, Atem kruim Adam, you, the Jewish people, are called Adam, human. Ve'ein ovi kochavim kruim Adam. Non-Jews are not called Adam. They're not human. So said the prosecutor, you see, they look at the non-Jewish people as animals. They don't look at the Gemara. They don't look at them as human beings, and therefore they could slaughter them. Just like they could slaughter animals, they slaughter the boy. And that's why Mendel Bayless did this, and we have to get rid of all the Jews because the Jewish people are terrible. Look at their values. Look what they do. They kill innocent people. Sounds familiar. So now how in the world are you going to get out of this Gemara? This is this is not about what Mendel, nothing, don't care anymore if Mendel Bayless was in the factory or not in fact. That was not part of this. Tagging Adams. So the Rav in Moscow, the Rav in Moscow, his name was Rav Yaakov Mazeh, M-A-Z-E-H. He sent a letter to Rav Meir Shapiro, who later on was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chafna Lublin, founder of the Daf Yomi movement. And he spoke to him about this case and about how he's been explaining these different chazal. And listen to what Rav Yaakov Mazeh answered. The help of Meir Shapiro. Look how he answered the prosecutor. I'm going to read the translation in English, okay? He said as follows. For the last 2 years, the entire Jewish community has agonized over a Kiev Jew accused of murder. All over the world, Jews are praying for his welfare and doing anything they can to help him. All for a simple Jew they don't even know. I ask you, Your Honor, what happens when a non-Jew is accused of murder? Isn't it true that even his own town barely pays any attention? This is what the Talmud means. You Jews are called Adam. Adam in the singular. The whole Jewish people is one person. One Jew's pain affects every other Jew in the world, just as an arm injury affects the entire body. But Ein Odei Kochavim Kruyim Adam. A non-Jew is not called Adam. Not that they're not human. Of course they're human. Of course we value every life. But they are many different people. They're not a singular unit. They're not a singular entity. And therefore, it doesn't bother them. That's what the Gemara means. The Gemara doesn't mean that we hold Jews to be human and non-Jews not to be human. The Gemara is just telling us the reality that the entire Jewish people is an Adam, in singular. We are one unit. And therefore, whether we know them, whether we see them, whether we agree to them, we care about them. We feel for them. Comes along the Chasam Sofer and says that this is the answer to our question between Yishmael and Rabbi Yochanan, a seeming contradiction. He explains, Yishmael wasn't a Jew. Yishmael is the father of the Arabs. And therefore, when it comes to someone that is not part of the Jewish people, the best tefillah they could do, we believe in non-Jewish tefillah as well, the non-Jews to come to the Beis HaMikdash. The best tefillah that a non-Jew could do is for himself, because it's all about him. He's the one that has the issue. Yes, other people could daven for him, but the power is in him, because it really only affects him. However, when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan, when it comes to the Jewish people, if I, God forbid, I'm sick, my head's not, like, I'm not feeling so good right now. I'm not so organized with my thoughts. It's hard for me to speak. My tefillah can't be as strong, because I'm stuck. Someone else's tefillah, who could be calm, the Midas Hadin is not on him, like the Chasam Sofer writes in his drasha, he could go ahead and daven for the other person as if it's his own problem, because he's connected to me exactly like one unit. We're one unit. So really, it's the individual's tefillah that's better. But the individual by the Jewish people is so much bigger than my legs and arms and head. So the other person that's davening for me, he is me. And he can think better than me. And he can plan better than me. And he can scream more than me in his tefillah. And therefore, his tefillah is more powerful. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan went ahead and answered the Chanina, who was really him, to go ahead and daven for him. That is an amazing lesson that we have to appreciate. That when we go ahead and we daven for other people, the Chasam Sofer says in his drasha, really doesn't make any sense why we should daven for other people. The other person has a din on him. Hashem wants X, Y, and Z to happen. Why should my tefillah work for him? That's another shmooze. If we have a tefillah over here, maybe we can speak about it. But why should my tefillah work for him? Comes along the Chasam Sofer and he says, because he is me. We are all one. We are one unit. And therefore my tefillah could go ahead and work for him. But he has a condition. Just like if Aaron Cutler added a condition to the schar that a person could get in the Tomer Devora, he said, you have to want it. Chasam Sofer says, I have to feel it. I have to feel that pain. If I just feel like, yeah, he's a person, I'm a person, you know, it's a nice thing to daven for the chayalim, that's not good enough. I have to feel the pain of the other person as if it's my pain. And then the tefillah works. Because then that allows me to connect myself to the klal, it allows me to connect myself to that other person, and then I could use the power of the fact that we are one. Someone once went to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Sefer Tzadik Lebracha. And he asked him, can you please daven for my relative? So Shlomo Zalman asked him, what's the name, etc. And he gave him the name. And 3 months later, Shlomo Zalman saw this person again, and he asked him, he said, so how's so-and-so feeling? He said, well, so-and-so, oh, he's all better. He said, what do you mean he's all better? He got better after a month. Rebbe, thank you so much for davening for him. Shlomo Zalman turned to him and said, you got better after a month? He said, yeah. Why'd you tell me? So he said, Rebbe, I'm going to bother you. Bother me? Do you know how much it bothered me that I had to daven for him for 3 months, 2 extra months, 3 times a day? Every time I said his name, I was in pain over his sickness. That bothered me a lot more than you calling me up and telling me that he's better. That's what a real tefillah is. Just list the whole name. How many names do you have? 17. How many do you have? I have 170. And how many do you have? 1,700 names that are down before my Shemoneh Ezra. That doesn't do anything. If you could take a moment to stop, and sometimes maybe flip it around. Down to one person in the morning, one person in the afternoon. If you can't fully get in each time, take just a moment to think about what's that person going through? What's their family going through? You don't know them. You don't know what they're thinking about. But you know, this chayal has a wife, he has kids, and I don't know, what would be like not to have their family home? What does it mean for someone to be captive? What does it mean for someone to be in the hospital? You have to know the person. You don't necessarily know all their pain. Obviously, the closer you are to the person, the more we do feel their pain, and our feeling can even be stronger. But at least, we have to go ahead and feel the pain of the person that we're choosing to go ahead and daven for. Then, we're able to connect to that cloud, and we're able to go ahead and have that powerful feeling. I want to close with one more level. Okay, so we said we need to want the good of Klal Yisrael. We have to feel the pain or the good of Klal Yisrael as well. But now there's a whole nother level. And this is something to strive for. This is really different. This is difficult. The pasuk says in the beginning of Shmuel that Chana was davening for a child. The bottom of page 3, source 16. V'chana gina daveres aliva raks vaseh hanaos, her lips were moving, v'kola lo yishameh. Her voice wasn't coming out. Eli, the Kohen thought that Chana must be drunk. He never saw anything like this, that someone just like saying words without words coming out of the mouth. Must be drunk. And the pasuk continues, page 4. Batan Chana, Batomer, lo Adoni, Ishakshas, Ruchi, Ruach Anochi, the Yahim Sheikh Alosha, she sees, I didn't drink anything. The Shpokas, after the just stop it. Please, don't leave me alone. Pasuk Yitzayim, Yan Eli Bayomer. So after Eli hears from Chana that she didn't drink, that she was just davening, Eli said, Bayomer l'chi l'shalom. Go in peace. Okay, so you can Hashem say, Hashem will grant you your request, Hashem sha'alt me, what you asked from him. So if you read the Pesukim superficially, it sounds like, it was like a bracha, like, yeah, Hashem should answer your tefillos, right? But Rashi points out, that's not what it says. It says, it's going to happen. It happened. Rashi says, Basosh in this kabut tefilasa. Rashi says that Eli was telling her, oh, your tefillah was answered already. You're going to have a kid. This is very, very strange. First, Eli sees Chana, thinks she's drunk. Chana says, no, I'm not drunk, I'm davening. And Eli says, oh, your tefillah was already answered. What happened? What was going on behind the scenes over here? So the Imri Emes, the Ger Rebbe, says the following idea. In source 18. He says that Eli saw Chana, and you know what? He was down the Kapskos. Must be Chana's davening. But he didn't feel that she needed anything. He was looking at her davening. She had already started before. He came in the middle. I don't feel any of her pain. She must be drunk. What else must she? She can't be davening. She's on the daven for. So he says, you know, you're drunk. He said, no, I'm davening. So then Eli says, you're davening? But I don't feel your pain. You don't have any pain. You don't have any needs. Hashem must have answered your tefillah. And go on. Meaning, Eli was on such a high level that it wasn't that, like, you know, we pick someone to daven for, we have to, now let's think about their pain. Eli was so in tune to the fact that we are all one unit, that we are all the same. I am you, and you are me. That just like my right arm doesn't have to think, is my left toe hurting or not hurting? It's just automatic. Eli was so in touch with the achdus of Klal Yisrael that he was able to know that Chana had no pain. There was nothing that she needed. Everything was totally fine. So originally she thought he must be drunk. He thought she must be drunk. And then when she said she isn't, he said, well, you don't have any pain. You don't have any needs. Hashem must have answered you to feel already. That's something we could strive for. That we could love each other so much that we could feel one with every person. No jealousy, no issues, no backstabbing, no talking about other people, no just inviting this person, not that person. We're all one, there's no difference. The more that we could work on that level of achdus, the more that we'll be able to strive for this godless that the Gadol Hador Eli had. Now, Baruch Hashem nowadays, Mamish nowadays, there's an enormous amount of chesed. And that's what everyone's talking about, the unity, there's a Doesn't matter what kippah you're wearing, you're not wearing a kippah. People on the news are asking the other people to borrow a kippah when they say certain things. It's literally miraculous. Not that long ago, the state of Israel was in the worst situation that it could have been. They were talking about a civil war. It was terrible. terrible summer. They were thinking it was going to be a civil war. It was terrible. And the fact that that's like, really? That happened? And everyone's so united is amazing. But we have to be very, very careful. United does not just mean that I don't care what kippah you're wearing, and therefore right now I'll dance together with you, or I'll do a barbecue for you, or I'll do an act of chesed for you, or I'll daven for you. It's not just these external actions that Baruch Hashem everyone is performing. We have to realize what it really means in its core. The mahus of Ben Am L'Chaveiro is that in its core, we are one. Even when we're arguing, we are one. That's the Metzius. And therefore, we have to make sure to try to tap into that. Try to believe it, know it, and act based on it. And it's something we have to work on. Whether our friendships, whether it's inviting people that we're not so friendly with, or learning with people that we're not so friendly with, that we should be shooting out and out and out and out. We should be diving for more and more and more people that we don't know about. We should be reaching out, calling out, sharing, trying to enhance that achdus, but never forgetting what it really is, that we are one unit. And Be'ezus Hashem, if we're able to work on that together, we'll be able, and we want, all the good of other people. We worry when people are not doing good, and it's our problem, and we try to fix that. We worry about the Kibbutz Shemayim. We feel the pain and the successes of other people in a very, very real way. No jealousy. We daven, we feel it, etc. We'll all be zocher that even after Mirz Hashem, this war is all over, the Karov Mamish will be able to walk out Echa, the way it's supposed to be, and it'll stay that way, Be'ez Hashem forever. Amen.